Our regular COVID expert is Dr. Ari Cement, who is a pulmonologist at Mount Sinai Hospital in Miami Beach. He has seen literally thousands of COVID patients, including me. Ari, welcome back to the show. Today's topic is ivermectin. Ari, what is ivermectin?
Ivermectin is an anti-parasitic drug used for scabies in the past that has been repurposed for COVID-19.
Why did doctors think of even using ivermectin for COVID-19?
It does have in vitro activity at higher doses against COVID-19. They did initial in vitro experiments with a whole variety of medicines, and that was one of them that showed potential antiviral activity. A lot of the drugs that were seen to be effective versus malaria were studied against COVID. So if you went on the CDC website, looked for malaria drugs, you'll find alternative therapies besides quinine. You'll find hydroxychloroquine, doxycycline, ivermectin. And it's sort of interesting that all those drugs turned out to be possible therapies for COVID.
There was a meta study of all the major global ivermectin trials. And Dr. Richard Hill found that ivermectin reduced mortality by 56%. But the results were dependent on two studies, which were later found to be fraudulent.
The initial meta-analysis had two studies from Egypt and Lebanon. And both studies basically had duplicate data. And it was fraudulent. Then when you take away 20% of your effectiveness, you're left with non-significant. What is causing people to publish fraudulent data? I think that it's the same problem that we've had in the past with the anti-vaxxer who was published in Lancet. They figure that's the fastest way to become famous is to publish something that is a hot topic, even if it means fabricating data. At the time that all these studies are coming out, there's an excitement. What can we do? And some of the investigators really believe in ivermectin and they want to get it out. So they do less than honest approaches.
At the initial outset of the pandemic, doctors and scientists had no idea about the disease and the appropriate medications. So they followed their intuition and provided patients with a cocktail. Some worked, some didn't. Is that to be expected?
Well, that's a great question. Initially, in a pandemic, there was a lack of medicine. If the medicines made sense, then it was appropriate to at least try because nothing else seemed to work. Ivermectin doesn't have a very clear mechanism of action, but there were some anecdotal stories by physicians, so it made sense to try it because the risk-benefit ratio was favorable. You rely on anecdotal medicine when you have a new disease. And then over time, you start seeing some of these articles being published. But the key takeaway is to rely on people like from the New England Journal of Medicine, someone like Eric Topol.
Medical information during a pandemic is evolving. How do you change your choice of medications?
I think the key is to react and adapt. We used high-dose Plaquenil in the beginning and HIV medicine, but when we saw it wasn't helping and potentially hurting, we stopped it. The flip side is there was a medicine called tocilizumab that we saw that everybody was saying that it's dangerous to use along with steroids, but we saw in our patients that it seemed to dramatically help. So even though it was against the initial randomized controlled trials, we saw it with our own eyes that it helped and we continued to use it. And eventually there was a randomized controlled trial that showed benefit. So reacting and adapting is the key.
Ari, I was your patient in the hospital in December 2020 when I had the cytokine storm and you gave me that cocktail.
You reacted excellently to tocilizumab and steroids. And I believe you had the variant where we were most concerned with the cytokine phase, and I believe that's what helped you turn around.
The meta study for ivermectin came out 2 years after the outbreak of COVID, and relies on studies from Egypt and Lebanon. Now, here is the most important medical event in our lifetime. Why did it take so long?
it takes time to do a study. I mean, I was just involved in a COVID study and it took a year and a half to get it going. And it seemed like a pretty straightforward, easy study. It takes a while to develop protocols and methods and to do things the right way. There were over 80 trials, randomized control trials that were in the works. I don't know how many of them actually ended up completed, but for ivermectin, there were many, and also for Plaquenil, there were many, many studies.
What goes into the experimental design for these COVID drugs? I mean, there are so many variables. When should you take the drug? What's the appropriate dosage? Should it be done as a cocktail with other drugs? And if so, which ones? How do these variables complicate matters?
It's a matter of the timing. That's number one. Number two, all those ivermectin studies used different drug doses. Nevertheless, whichever dose they used, there was never a rip-roaring positive randomized control trial.
Let's discuss ivermectin dosage. Some of these trials were using 20 times the recommended use. How do you think about radical increase in dosage amounts and you're concerned about possible side effects?
Right. I think that's the reason why the CDC and the NIH sort of clamped down on the ivermectin. Ivermectin does have a Nobel Prize associated with it. It's a safe drug. It's a very effective, good drug for what it's purposed for. But we're talking about doses that needed to be that high based on the in vitro studies that showed that it was only effective at high doses.
The ivermectin study with the best results was done in Brazil by Pierre Corey. Ivermectin was used as a prophylactic, so people were taking the drug who did not even have COVID. The size of the study was gigantic. 160,000 subjects were in the study, with 113,000 taking ivermectin and 47,000 taking the placebo. The results were beyond impressive. Mortality was reduced by 68% for ivermectin users. So 2.6% mortality for the placebo compared to 0.8% mortality for ivermectin. This study was not peer-reviewed, but it showed great promise when it was released. In retrospect, how do you think about this particular study?
That study was definitely thought-provoking. You really have to investigate not what you're reading only, but also where it's coming from. Some of the authors listed are Flavio Carigliani and Juan Chamie, Chamie, and also Pierre Corey. These people are members of the Frontline COVID Critical Care Alliance, and Carigliani is a PI of a trial that's being investigated for violations of medical ethics by the Brazilian National Health Council, and Lucy Kerr works for a company that produces ivermectin. So even before you start reading the paper, is it reliable? The numbers look good. It's definitely thought-provoking, and it looks positive. But the flip side is it's an observational study. Did these patients assign to the ivermectin? Did they really pick up the medicine? Were they really taking it? I think it comes down to design differences, meta-analysis that has many, many randomized control trials. That's on the top. Then you have a randomized control trial. Then below that, you have the observational studies like cohort studies, case control studies, cross-sectional surveys, right? You really want to see a robust randomized control trial, and that would yield you the best information. What they were employing was an observational study, but they were doing such dramatically high numbers that it should blow you away. But then you have to look at where they're getting their information, if it's accurate, and see if they're really trustworthy. At this point, because of the people involved in it, I say, wow, that's cool, but I don't give it any credence personally.
Do you think of yourself as impartial on ivermectin?
I promise you, I want to believe that ivermectin works. I was hoping to see a positive trial, honestly, but there hasn't been one large randomized control trial without credibility issues that have been positive.
What lessons can we learn from this ivermectin experience?
We went for it because it inhibited the replication of SARS-CoV-2 in cell culture, so it made sense. Because it has a good track record of safety, there hasn't been any major randomized control trials that have shown positive benefit. And these trials that have been done that have been beneficial are either published by people with credibility issues or have some problems in the makeup of the study.
Ari, I end each episode on a note of optimism. What are you optimistic about this week?
I'm optimistic that COVID just seems to be going away.